Welcome to Building Texas with Justin McKenzie and Summer Babarak, sponsored by the Bernie Kendall County Economic Development Corporation and Das Greenhouse. And now, here's your host, Justin McKenzie.
Welcome to Building Texas. My name's Justin McKenzie, and you're listening to Bernie Radio 103.9 FM. Today, we have a really interesting opportunity to sit down and think about Texas in the future, and a big part of Texas's future is space. But it's an interesting part because it's an important part of the history of Texas, too. When we think about Houston, we have a problem. And what Houston, Space City, has been for NASA since day one. It's interesting to me that we're just now reforming the Space Commission and an economic focus on what does the industry of space mean to Texas. And I suspect it's billions, if not trillions, of dollars into the future. So today we're joined by one of nine commissioners for the space agency, the Space Commission.
Yeah, the Texas Space Commission. It is a brand new Texas agency. We have the privilege of leading Texas forward to establish this new agency to really move forward, put Texas on a map in a very big way. And as we talked, if Texas won't lead, who will? And so we really do have to get after this.
Well, I'm thrilled that we're joined by Brad Morrison, someone who is all over Bernie. If you've been in the high school system, if you've been in theater, if you've been in other things, you've probably interacted with the Morrison family at some level in Bernie. When I saw you nominated and rise to this position, I was taken aback. I was like, wow, one, we're doing this in Texas. I'm thrilled to see it. I know you. I've known you for a long time through the Angel Network. So thank you for your support in that way. But what does that open up? How did you end up in the position to be a board member of this commission? And then where do we go from there?
Yeah, I think myself, as well as the other commissioners pointed to this commission, really have a service before self kind of orientation. They really want to help the state forward. And there's multiple layers to this space business that we can talk about. But, you know, one in particular that's close to me is the national security aspects of securing space assets that are now under the threat of great power competition that the Department of Defense, the U.S. Space Force is talking about right now. You know, there's so many issues going on right now globally that aren't necessarily in our U.S. best interests or the average Texan. You know, it's a pleasure for me to participate alongside these other nine and really focus on how do we take advantage of the opportunity in space for all of humanity, you know, kind of looking from space down, as well as the opportunity to look outward to the moon and beyond, and thus the exploration and scientific aspects of this. That gets me fired up. I think it's something we have to do. We're living in the information age economy right now, and I think this space age economy that we're quickly accelerating into will dwarf anything we've ever seen in our lifetime. It gets me really excited. I know the other commissioners alongside of me feel the same way, and it's time. Toddy Lee Wynn, he was one of the kind of early pioneers in rocketry, had a ranch, Matagorda Island. So there was a SpaceX before SpaceX here in Texas. And as you alluded to, the Texas Space Commission itself, this is kind of version 2.0. That was done back in 1983. With his passing, a lot of the energy and focus to develop a vibrant commercial space industry in Texas kind of went away. And so it's good to see it back on the scene. Obviously, it's exciting when you look at what Elon Musk and SpaceX, Kathy Leaders down at Boca Chica, what they're doing. You go look at Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin and what they've got going on at Van Horn and New Shepard, which I was out this past weekend for Ed Dwight's flight. That was phenomenal to witness that. But there's so much going on. You know, it really is a pleasure to be a part of this and really help Texas seize that opportunity.
Well, you mentioned a couple of things that I want to circle back on. And one, you talk about the national security aspect. You have a background in cybersecurity and data management. When we were talking about national security and the importance of space, you talked about the relationship between Earth and space, not space out. But it really is the data and speed of communication that space has enabled for things like GPS and other important national security systems. There's also the idea of space warfare and ensuring that our satellites are protected so that systems like GPS stay online. Starlink introducing rural internet, that's closing a digital divide for so many people. Mm-hmm. That's what I think of when we think about space. A lot of people want to say, oh, we're going to the moon, we're going to Mars. That's great, and I think we are doing that. but how does it impact me today? And right now, I'm really seeing the connection to data and the speed of communication.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I've been chasing photons and electrons for a living for quite some time. The domain of space, let's just call it that, is a big part of enabling telecoms, which then enables worldwide connectivity. It enables financial systems and processes that we often take for granted, what it takes to do a stock trade. What does it mean when I order an Uber and the Uber driver has to figure out where I'm at and I got to figure out where the Uber driver's at? You know, we do see a lot of impact in our daily lives on what happens in space. We might take some of that for granted. Maybe for the first time in a while, our space assets used not just here in Texas or in the U.S., but globally are under the threat of bad actors, nation states that might want to hold us hostage, start to pace us a little bit in a way that is concerning for the way we live, work, and play.
And when we think about the commission now and the mission that you're on, it really does open up the economic future of Texas around the space race. And that doesn't mean necessarily building rockets. There's an entire supply chain, whether it is the gases and fuels used to power rockets, the manufacturing of rockets, which I know happens in the Hill Country. There's a lot of pieces and people that go into building that future. I believe I'm understanding the commission exists to really help draw attention to that and then to look at federal money, state money, other agency money, and say, how can we bring that to Texas and compete in that international workforce program that's coming?
Yeah, obviously, one of the legislative visionaries was Dr. Greg Bonin out of Houston, who led this on the House side. House Bill 3447 was established to, you know, put into motion the establishment of a brand new state agency, which is fascinating in and of itself, working with Senator Huffman on the Senate side of things to really, you know, coalesce all of Texas' resource. And for the first time, it's a great opportunity for Texas to work together. This is really a nonpartisan, not just bipartisan, but nonpartisan thing that you can be inspired anytime you get after something this big. You know, there really is neat opportunity to get the whole of Texas, kind of give them an opportunity. And so since appointed, I've been traveling the state. I think our state deserves to have each commissioner truly understand all the different resources that we can unify to go make our claim in this new space economy that some say could be in the trillions of dollars. And it sits alongside, by the way, Texas chose two very important pathways in the past legislative session, one being the semiconductor push through the Texas CHIPS Act, and they've got about $700 million to invest in the onshoring of the important industry of building chips that we use. And the Space Commission, we ended up with about $350 million that was appropriated, $200 million of which is going to Texas A&M to build an exploration park adjacent to NASA down in Houston, which will be exciting. They'll have both a lunar and a Mars kind of test bed established to test rovers on. And then there's $150 million to just get the agency set up, moving in the right direction, and significant foundational projects around the state seeded with some money to get us moving. It really is an exciting time. The charge of the commission is super critical at this juncture, and it really is to the betterment of the whole of the state.
You're listening to Bernie Radio, 103.9 FM. We're sitting down with one of nine commissioners for the Texas State Space Commission and excited about where it's going. As we go into the break, I've learned so much just in the initial part of this conversation, and we have an Aggie in the room with us who is a champion graduate and really plugging into what is the future going to look like as he graduates Texas A&M and goes on to work somewhere in aerospace, probably in space. But I'm so thrilled that we're able to make this connection and really tie it back to how does this impact us locally here in Kendall County. This is Justin McKenzie from Building Texas. Today's segment is brought to you by Das Greenhouse. Das Greenhouse is a business incubator launched here in Bernie to serve our local community. Das Greenhouse is a place where you can come to grow your idea. Our goal is to make Bernie accessible to people who are looking to grow a business, expand a business, or learn more about what's out there in their community and get involved. Visit us at dasgreenhouse.org or come visit us at 7 Upper Balcones Road, Verney, Texas. Das Greenhouse. Welcome back to Building Texas on Verney Radio 103.9 FM. We're continuing a conversation around Texas and the space industry. And in the back half of the show, I really want to go back to the economic impact of space. We made a good clarification that space isn't just rockets going into the air. It's really everything telecommunication. When you think about that, AT&T, a good Texas company, they have a lot of interest in space, I'm certain, as do any other company. And if you look around Texas, these counties, especially the rural counties, they're now closing that digital divide with access to the internet with Starlink and other forms, improved communication. But then I look at like Van Horn. You talked about being out there in Van Horn last weekend. It's an old ranch land area of Texas. There's not a lot of activity out there. But now all of a sudden, they're revitalizing hotels. They're putting people into modern offices. Van Horn looks very different because of Blue Origin. So what was that experience like? What did you find when you were there?
Yeah, well, to my friends out in the 915 in El Paso and the 426 in Culberson County, a shout out to you, Summer Webb, and your team that hosted me and other visitors. There were about 50 of us out there. And again, Ed Dwight, he was nominated by JFK to be one of the first in our astronaut corps, never got a ride up. And so at 90 years old, he was able to go up to about 23 miles above the surface of the earth from West Texas. We got to witness that. It's a 12-minute ride from start to finish, going up about 24 miles where the actual booster rocket separates from the pod. Booster rocket screams down back to earth quickly. There's a sonic boom, engine fires, all done by software, mind you. It's where software and hardware meets. And lands about 2 miles downrange from where they took off. And you can see all this. 2 miles further north, downrange, you see the crew capsule, the chutes deploy, and safely returns back to Earth 6 private flyers that spent a lot of money for that experience to go up into a suborbital space above the Kármán line and have an experience like no other, to really start to think how small we are here. You know, we're sitting here in Verney, Texas, USA, and they had a chance to have quite a vantage point looking out over the world from space, which is really cool. And it was great to see Ed Dwight finally get that experience. You know, things like that, that sensationalizes this space business. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's exciting. That's inspirational. Those are things that really, I think, Tristan Forks, who we have in studio, who's going A&M, I think we can deal all of Texans into this new space race economy. We're going to need doctors, lawyers, engineers, scientists, all the things that you can think about in any vibrant economy are going to be needed. And so it's very diverse. And from an economic impact standpoint, you've got 500 to 600 folks working out in Van Horn, Texas on such an initiative. And then you start thinking about the supply chain aspects of what's needed out there, from liquid oxygen, liquid nitrogen to make this thing go, to roads, bridges, infrastructure to support growth in a community that frankly was on the downward trend. And now it has new life because of that, all in West Texas. And we have been blessed in Texas with wide open spaces, which makes the space launch business a viable part of that piece of Texas. And then you look at south to Boca Chica and what SpaceX has done. And look, nothing is ever done perfectly or anything. And you think about the economic impact there, over 2,000 people attached to that mission at Starbase. They're operating 24/7, 3 shifts a day with a multi-billion-dollar economic impact to the Rio Grande Valley. And that is very exciting for young people like Tristan Forks. And frankly, it could be, again, doctors, lawyers, anybody that wants to participate in this new space economy we're moving into. It's exciting. Not to mention, you do get to do cool stuff. And Tristan, because you're an aerospace engineer, you might find yourself building some of these rockets or returning these rockets, all done by robotics or softwares. It's pretty exciting about the art of the possible, the economics. It's real jobs for real people here in Texas. It's how space impacts humanity is how I see it. Obviously, we want to continue to develop, especially out to the moon. I think Texas is going to have a big part of that. If you think about Intuitive Machines, what they did a couple months ago, first commercial lander company back to the surface. We have another company that endeavors to do the same thing, Firefly Aerospace, under Bill Weber's leadership in Austin. But we actually have a radio manufacturer that is crushing it, Cesium Astro and Shay Sabur, and what he's been able to do. Radios being designed and built in Austin, Texas, USA. So there's a lot of participants now beyond Blue Origin, beyond SpaceX, the traditionals like Lockheed, Boeing, which will continue to be big parts of this. Northrop Grumman, I could go on and on about traditional aerospace and how they're going to participate, but also the new space industry that's developing. And then the emerging companies on the scene like Cesium Astro and Firefly and Intuitive Machines and Axiom Space and Starlab Space, Tim Copper's leadership there to actually put a private space station up on orbit, which is critical right now. China's pacing us. And so this is where kind of economic interests intersect with national security. They launched Tiangong a couple of years back. It's the only other space station next to ISS. And ISS has been on orbit for a while. China is using that as a way to attract and ally partners to their space program to obviously beat the U.S. We need private industry to pour in. It needs to be supported by private capital, a lot of it, that can come alongside of federal government capital to really help us, seize the opportunity for our youngins, as well as protect us from a national security standpoint.
Well, and I think of Boca Chica and just the excitement of a SpaceX launch brings a lot of tourism as well. And that's all up and down the RGV as people are traveling for a whole different reason down there. And it's a different demographic of people interested there. I like the call that we're going to need doctors and lawyers and everyone that we have today with a bend towards space. So if you're a young professional, Tristan's a good example.
Yeah.
He's thinking about not only the aerospace work that he's doing in school, but how do you become a well-rounded student that can really look around and see space for everything that it is? It's not just rockets. It is a huge economic impact. And into counties that are rural and remote. I'll go back to data centers. We're running a lot of fiber and power through these counties. And if you've got cheap land and cheap power, you become a data center candidate. And that might be something our Western counties think of.
Yeah. Again, it really opens up your mind when you start thinking about the unlimited possibilities of space and its impact on humanity. For example, on orbit, you have more or less easy, cheap access to solar power, which can drive compute on orbit, which now can drive very, very inexpensive data processing, which will enable this. I love ChatGPT, AIML, which we're moving very quickly there. Well, what if every citizen had access to very, very inexpensive digital tutor assistance, digital legal assistance, digital healthcare assistance, all driven by very cheap compute on orbit, and that now is made available to every Texan. And so again, that you can start to think about what are the possibilities of solving problems that we already recognize we have, and coupling then that to infrastructure here on Earth, and you're going to have receivers and data processing. I mean, that could be done, frankly, in some of these wide open spaces to revitalize things. It really is exciting to see how we can knit the whole of the state together, deal everyone in, if you will. I think part of the commission's job is to get out there and listen, but also then bring everyone together to understand, well, what is this Texas Space Commission? It's pretty exciting. It is the newest agency in some time. I think it's very future looking for our great state to lean forward in this way, in a significant way, commit capital. The average Texan will expect returns, and we endeavor to get returns in a big way. So I think that's the other part of this too, is we have to take our jobs with the utmost sincerity, good stewardship, and know that the investments we make have to get a return for our state, for our country, in a number of ways, not just economically, but from a national security. So that's the other part, working with U.S. Space Force on what their priorities are, understanding how they fit into the, call it the Great Power Competition, GPC, and staying close. For our region in particular, You look just to the south, you've got 16th Air Force, and I know it's Air Force of Cyber, I believe. They're pivoting to being an independent command structure, and I think Space Force can bed down cyber guardians to protect those space assets on orbit and the ground segment part of it right here in San Antonio, Texas, USA. It's exciting when you start thinking about what we can do as a region, especially between San Antonio and Austin as it continues to grow together. Jim Pershbach, what he's got going at the Port of San Antonio, and Genesis Hedda Herrera, and you know, being able to collaborate with all the various stakeholders to bring some of that national security apparatus here, I think is another part of it, and how the Space Commission can sit above and kind of negotiate how to help Houston play to its strengths, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, and what Old Parkland can bring with all the capital that they have, West Texas, the wide open spaces, Dr. Heather Wilson and what she's got going at UTEP. They're one of 13 space universities affiliated with U.S. Space Force. They have a tremendous aeronautical engineering program. Texas A&M and what they're doing. I think they're the number one R&D grant university in the country now. Obviously, you got Rice, Baylor, SMU. Let's knit everyone in. Everyone can participate in this, and that's part of the economics of this.
And I'll tie it back to the Air Force ROTC program here at Bernie and Champion High School, where they have their Cyber Patriot program.
Yeah.
You're getting IT qualified, certified, and that does take you on a path into everything you just listed because it's data and cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Directly ties into space. As we wind down the conversation, we've talked a lot about space and we've talked a lot about the potential and what it does. The downside is there's more things in space now. How do we look at that? And should we expect our Texas night skies to change as we see more activity up there? Or do we think about ways to minimize space junk?
I think we were talking about Starlink. They have 5,500 satellites right now, and they plan to grow that to 12,000 satellites on orbit to provide very pervasive communications globally. You compare that with what we once thought was a huge constellation in Iridium, and I think we found they had, what, 55? So it's on orders of magnitude greater. As SpaceX continues to launch things on orbit and people pay them to launch, and so launch costs come down, that makes space more accessible because of the economics. And that then allows us to put more things up on orbit, which creates the challenge. How do you tag it, track it, clean it, recycle it? I think all these are problems we're now seeing. Whoa, as we get after the space business, what's up there above our sky, up in the space above our heads? I think those are our problems. And, you know, there's obviously going to be solutions to those problems. Problems, frankly, that commercial industry can start solving for. You know, we had talked about Sam Marine and what he does at Cyber Advisors, for example. It's like, he gets it. Dual-use companies that can take care of the national security problems as much as the commercial opportunity to, you know, deliver a capability that is to the benefit of, you know, our defense and warriors. I think there's going to be tremendous opportunities for Texas-based companies to bed down here, grow here, put people to work here to solve for those problems. But yeah, you know, I think space junk and recycling in space is an obvious opportunity. I know it's a significant priority for the U.S. Space Force, by the way, to understand what's going up on orbit, keep track of it, base situational awareness, if you will, and then be able to, you know, police and manage kind of what's up there for us.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today and representing our hometown at the state level and really putting it a primary focus for people like Tristan that are going into the future world of. This is a reality. It's a quickly growing reality. And I think we've all, through our history of space, all the way back to the original Apollo programs and before, that's what we've known space to be. But the commission has a wonderful job in going out there and marketing something bigger, a broader opportunity for every Texan to come get involved in this industry and be more aware and see the economic future. So thank you, Brad, for how you are building Texas.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for having me.
This is Justin McKenzie from Building Texas. Today's segment is brought to you by Das Greenhouse. Das Greenhouse is a business incubator launched here in Bernie to serve our local community. Das Greenhouse is a place where you can come to grow your idea. Our goal is to make Bernie accessible to people who are looking to grow a business, expand a business, or learn more about what's out there in their community and get involved. Visit us at dasgreenhouse.org or come visit us at 7 Upper Balcones Road, Bernie, Texas. Das Greenhouse.
Story time. As the Patrick Heath Library is open today from 10 to 4, this is Bernie Radio.